Matthew, in his resurrection report in Matthew chapter 28, focuses on Galilee. It's clear, isn't it? Verse 7, the angels tell the women, go quickly, tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. The Lord Jesus, verse 10, when he meets with the women himself, says to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Matthew doesn't mention the appearances to Jesus of Jesus in Jerusalem that day and the following week. Didn't he know about them? Well, yes, Matthew was there. He is one of the apostles. Matthew was there. It's a reminder that he is not writing a history. He is writing a gospel. Matthew is not writing news. He is writing good news. He has reasons for concentrating on Galilee that serve his gospel purpose, as we'll see. But isn't there a contradiction with what we're told in Luke and Acts, where the disciples are told to stay in Jerusalem? If you read in Luke 24, Acts chapter 1, the disciples are told to stay in Jerusalem. Here Jesus and the angels are telling them to go to Galilee. Isn't there a contradiction? Excuse me. Well, Luke doesn't mention the appearances in Galilee at all. He concentrates on Jerusalem. Matthew and John both speak of appearances in Galilee. And that command to remain in Jerusalem comes at the end of the 40 days during which Jesus appeared to his disciples. This is what I think is the chronology. They remain in Jerusalem until the end of the Feast of Unleavened Bread that followed Passover. That's why they stayed in Jerusalem initially, you know, because they're told to go to Galilee. Why don't they go straight away? Well, it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread that week. So they stay that week in Jerusalem. They're devout, pious Jews. We would expect them to. And there are various appearances recorded on that first day of the week and one a week later when Jesus again meets with them, when Thomas is once more with them. These appearances are preliminary and preparatory to what will happen in Galilee. Again, notice what the command is in here in Matthew. He is risen from the dead. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Again, Jesus says, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. That's going to be the main event. And that's not just a cursory glance at Jesus. That word, see, is first used in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 5. And verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That's not just a glance. This is a contemplation. So those initial appearances in Jerusalem are preliminary and preparatory. Then they travel to Galilee. I think soon after that, second appearance when Thomas is with them. Jesus meets with them initially by the Sea of Galilee. That's the event that's recorded in John chapter 21 when they have that catch of fish. I think he then tells them of the mountain where he will meet with them. Because we're told, aren't we, in Matthew 28 verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Well, we're not told when Jesus told them which mountain it was. I think it was when he met them there by the lake of Galilee, and he told them which mountain it was and informs them that he wants everyone there. So I'll put my heading up. He wants everyone there. And by that I mean all of his Galilean disciples. That will be the occasion when he appeared to over 500 brothers at the same time. Paul refers to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 6. When Jesus appeared to over 500 brothers at the same time. That's what happens in Galilee. Remember, we're told in Acts that in Jerusalem there are 120 believers leading up to the day of Pentecost. Where does Jesus meet with 500 believers? Well, that's not going to be in Jerusalem. That's out in Galilee, where most of his followers are. Jesus wants everyone there. You see, I think it's likely that the bulk of his appearances to his disciples over that period of 40 days were actually in Galilee rather than in Jerusalem. They only ever went to Jerusalem for the festivals, you remember, the Jewish feasts. They didn't have a base in Jerusalem. They only went with Jesus to Jerusalem when there was a festival, a feast on. And when they returned to Jerusalem later at the end of that period, it's the Feast of Pentecost. So they're going back to Jerusalem for the feast. They go early and Jesus meets with them there. So they're in Jerusalem 10 days before the Feast of Pentecost. That's when Jesus ascends back to heaven. That's when he tells them to remain in the city until the Holy Spirit comes. So I think that's the chronology that we have as we piece together these different facts and information. But why Galilee? Why does Jesus tell them to go to Galilee? And there's a real emphasis on it, isn't there, here? From the angels, from Jesus himself. Well, first of all, it's a place to regather. Turn back a couple of chapters to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 31. In Matthew 26 verse 31, we read these words. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." So before his death, Jesus had told them that he would meet them in Galilee, and after his death, that message gets repeated. But notice the context here. I will strike the shepherd, the sheep of the flock will be scattered, but after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee to regather his flock. It is in Galilee that the shepherd will regather his scattered flock. See, I think the flock is very fragmented in Jerusalem even. In John chapter 20, when Mary Magdalene runs to Simon, Peter and John to give them the news, the clear suggestion is, in the grammar, that they are in separate lodgings. She goes to Peter and she goes to John, it says. It doesn't say she goes to Peter and John. She goes to Peter and she goes to John. The Emmaus too that meet with Jesus, they are separate from the others. Thomas is separate from the 11 on that first appearance of Jesus. You see, the flock is fragmented. Jesus is going to gather them together again. See, Galilee will afford a venue for that oft misused phrase, quality time. You're not going to get that in Jerusalem, because Galilee will be a safe location in contrast to Jerusalem. You remember, when Jesus meets with his disciples in Jerusalem, they are behind locked doors. It's not a safe place. And indeed, when Jesus goes to Judea in response to Lazarus' death, Thomas, his disciples say, "Rabbi, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, And yet you're going back to Jerusalem. Thomas said to the rest, let us also go that we may die with him. That's how the disciples thought of Jerusalem. It's enemy territory. We'll go to Galilee. That's a safe location where we can have quality time, undisturbed, unthreatened. It's also a spacious location where Jesus can gather 500 of his disciples together in one place. I don't think that could happen in Jerusalem, but in Galilee, there's ample place for Jesus to gather his whole flock together there. There are two things we can learn from this as we think about Galilee, a place to regather the scattered flock. First of all, Jesus cares for his sheep. They've been traumatized by events of the preceding days. See something of his tenderness in the message that he gives to the women to take to the disciples in Matthew 28, verse 10. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Here is his shepherd care. They're my brothers, even though they failed me and deserted me. Even though now they still doubt, they are my brothers. Jesus cares for his sheep. It's as if he says now, as he'd said at an earlier point in his ministry, come apart and rest. Come apart and recover with me. See, Jesus cares for his disciples. He cares for his sheep. He cares for us. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knows when we need time apart, when we need time with him to recover together. Jesus cares for his sheep. But secondly, Jesus loves to meet with his gathered people. See, this appointment was made three times by Jesus. Remember, after they've gone out to the Garden of Gethsemane, after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Then the angels bring the message to the women, tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Then Jesus says to the women, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Three times Jesus made this appointment. I don't know what you're like in making sure you get appointments in your diary and in your calendar. Julie will look at me with a frown at the moment because some things don't get transferred from one electronic calendar to the paper calendar. Jesus wants to make sure that these disciples have this appointment in their diaries. Matthew Henry's got some lovely thoughts on this. He says, all the meetings between Christ and his disciples are of his own appointing. Jesus makes the appointments. Secondly, Matthew Henry says, Jesus never forgets his appointment, but will be sure to meet with his people with the promised blessing in every place where he records his name. And then thirdly, he says, in all meetings between Christ and his disciples, he is the most forward. What do we read in Matthew 26? Verse 33, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Matthew 28, verse 7, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. Jesus is keener to meet with us than we are to meet with him. He always goes ahead of us. Jesus loves to meet with his gathered people. And that's one reason that he sends them to Galilee, because he can meet all of them gathered together. As we've seen, those meetings in Jerusalem have been fragmented. In Galilee, they can all meet, the flock regathered. Individually, we enjoy fellowship with Jesus, praise his name. But he delights especially in meeting with his gathered flock. What did Jesus say earlier in Matthew's gospel? Where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them? Jesus rejoices to meet with his gathered flock. That's his delight. And that's illustrated, I think, with this repeated appointment that he makes, a place to regather. But then secondly, Galilee is a place to remember. I don't know what places have good memories for you. Perhaps growing up in a certain place, you've got happy memories of growing up. Perhaps it's a holiday destination that you went to repeatedly. What happy memories you've got of that place. Galilee has many wonderful associations for these disciples. Of course, it's where they first met Jesus. It's where they were first called to follow Jesus. It's where they saw his miracles. It's where they heard his teaching. Cana in Galilee. Capernaum in Galilee. The Sea of Galilee. What things they had seen and heard there in Galilee. And I think part of what Jesus is doing by sending them to Galilee is reminding them that there will be a continuity with the ministry he had exercised there. The next stage, there's going to be continuity with what had happened back in Galilee. There's going to be a connection between what he did and ministered and what they will be called to do and serve. But specifically notice that Jesus appoints a mountain for their gathering. Verse 16 of Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Jesus chose a mountain as their rendezvous. Was it the mountain where he preached that amazing sermon? Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. May have been that mountain. Is Jesus saying, remember the teaching of Jesus? Is that significant? Remember the teaching of Jesus as you go out. Remember what Jesus taught you. Or was it the mountain where Jesus fed over 4,000 people, 4,000 men besides women and children? Matthew chapter 15, verse 29, Matthew 15, verse 29, Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, blind, crippled, mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet. He healed them. People were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, the blind seeing. Praise the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples. Compassion for these people. They've been with me 3 days and nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry. They may collapse on the way. Then Jesus provides for them. Perhaps the association would be, remember the miracles of Jesus. Remember the power of Jesus. As you go out, remember the power of Jesus. But along with a number of commentators, I think it is most likely to have been the mountain on which Jesus was transfigured. Matthew chapter 17, you remember Matthew chapter 17, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Why do I think that's the likeliest? Well, look down in Matthew 17 to verse 20. Verse 9. Matthew chapter 17, verse 9. Matthew 17, verse 9 says, as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. And in Mark's account of that, we read, following that command, that they kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And now they know what rising from the dead meant. And now they can recall what happened on a mountain in Galilee. And now they can tell the others of this glorious person, Jesus. And I think that links in with what happens in Matthew 28, when Jesus goes on to speak about all authority is his in heaven on earth, and he will be with them all the days. What better evidence of his possession of all authority and that he could be with them always to the end of the age, more than what Peter, James and John had seen on that mountain those years earlier. They had witnessed that all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form in Christ. That's what they'd seen on that mountain in Galilee, as Jesus allowed that deity to shine out. And now they could tell the other disciples, he does have all authority. He will be with us, because he's not just a man, he is God enfleshed. But then also Galilee is a place to be sent, to be recommissioned, to be sent out afresh. Difficult to understand how we could read verse 17 when we read that when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. The doubt and uncertainty of some is either Matthew summarizing what has happened previously, both in Jerusalem and there by the lakeside. Or I think more likely, he is referring to the others beside the 11 disciples. I think the 11 disciples have met with Jesus repeatedly already by now. I think they are convinced believers. I think those who doubt, who are in two minds, perhaps that's the wider group of disciples of that 500. But be that as it may, when Jesus first sent out his apostles, it was with these instructions. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. That's not their commission now. Now, go make disciples of all nations. Your mission is not restricted any longer to the house of Israel. Now you're to reach the nations for Jesus. They are to baptize them into this Trinitarian relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These believers are to enter into a relationship with each person of the one God in this new life. And they're to be teaching to obey all that Jesus commanded them. Yes, in Matthew 10 they were sent to teach, but also to heal. Here the emphasis is on teaching, to obey all that was commanded. One writer says, where he had first called and directed them for their work, there would he again call them, give fullest directions, and bestow new and amplest powers upon them. These scattered flock, now regathered, recovered, are resent into the world. Let me close with words from T.V. Moore. It is enough for us to know that there is a Mount of Ordinances where we too may meet Jesus. The gathered people of God, as we sit under the preaching of the word, as we gather around the Lord's table in the communion of saints, where we too may meet Jesus and see him in his glory by the eye of faith. As we retire from the world and ascend that mount in the quiet of solitary prayer or in the communion of the great congregation, we too may have precious glimpses of him whom our souls love. And as we visit his sepulchre, we too may hear his promise to meet us again, not on the rocks and hills of Palestine, or even on the Mount of Transfiguration there, not with the 500 witnesses where doubt and tears mingled with worship and gladness, but on those hills of light that stretch away over the heavenly Canaan, in that city that has no need of the sun or moon to lighten it, and among the 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands that stand around the throne, where all tears will be wiped away, all sorrow forgotten, and where we shall sing this song of eternal victory through him that loved us and gave himself for us. Let us prepare for this glorious meeting, for he has gone before us, not into Galilee, but into heaven. And he will come again to take us to be with him forever. This is our hope, who have believed in Jesus Christ, the risen Saviour. Amen. So we're going to sing Glory to Jesus, risen, conquering Son.